at the beginning, it was very much sort of building the airplane as you were flying it, because, you know, health systems weren't set up for disseminating this kind of information. They weren't even sure what kind of information they needed to collect. We as journalists had no idea what kind of information was available or what would be pertinent to covering the pandemic or giving it any sort of meaning for our readers. So we just basically took whatever we could find and tried to make sense out of it.
You were frequently publishing data before the Department of Health had really published their numbers for the day. And I'm so intrigued on how you were able to do that as we were learning about a new virus and being able to sort of get a big picture look before we were ever getting it from the state.
Yeah, well, I won't tell you all my tricks, but some of it was, you know, the state health department would put together a daily update. But before they would publish the daily update where they tried to summarize all the numbers that had been reported to them, because, you know, you have to understand that they're not necessarily creating all these numbers. They're culling them from hospital systems, vaccination providers, doctor's offices, you know, coroner's offices, county and city public health departments, and trying to make sense out of them. So as they gather the data, you just got used to, by doing it day after day after day, knowing what gets updated when and where you can find it.
So what should people be paying attention to right now during this surge? And how can they not feel overwhelmed?
I think especially with this new Omicron variant that's come in, it's changed the contours of the pandemic a little bit. In the previous, say, 18 months, you know, we see case numbers, and then 10 days later, you see the curve in hospitalizations go up. And 3 weeks after that, you see deaths, unfortunately, going up. With Omicron, it's a little more hit and miss. And we're finding that, you know, just case numbers, infection numbers, while they're impressive because they're big numbers and they're going up really fast, they don't necessarily carry the weight that they used to. So I think one of the things to look at is not just the total hospitalizations, but how the number of people in ICUs and the number of people on ventilators is changing too. You know, I think looking at all this data, that's one thing you realize, there is no binary switch. We're going to turn the pandemic off. It's all about little steps that people can take or ways they can educate themselves in reducing their daily risk, whether it's deciding to go into a particular setting, you know, do I go to a restaurant? Do I go to a movie today? Maybe I should wait until next week or 2 weeks from now when things are a little better. Should I go to an outdoor event? You know, should I go to church? Things like that.
How do you not become overwhelmed?
Well, it depends on the day. Sometimes we do become overwhelmed and you just have to sit back and say, you know, wait, you know, is this really telling me what I think it's telling me? And actually, the little exercise sometimes I do for myself is I collect all the numbers, then sit back and start just making my own data visualizations or updating them and say, okay, what really is changing today? One of the essence of news is that it has to be new. So if we're reporting the same thing day after day, that isn't really meaningful to people anymore. So actually, instead of concentrating on numbers, I try to concentrate a little more on trends. And, you know, looking at the shape of a graph, for instance, you know, that can tell you instantaneously what your trend is or which direction you're going in or what subject matter is changing more today or this week than it did before. So if we can help in sorting through all this data and making some sense out of it and helping people make decisions on how to reduce their own risk, I think we're doing our job.